Hi, I'm Dr. William Renner, and it's my pleasure to host this series of podcasts on evidence-based medicine with Dr. Alan Safdi. I'm the Emeritus Director of Radiology, the Ohio GI and Liver Institute. Dr. Alan Safdi is Chief Medical Officer of Quadrant Health, owned by Stanford University and the Mayo Clinic. Dr. Safdi served as Chairman of the Department of Nutrition and Gastroenterology at the Deaconess Hospital and Ohio GI Liver Institute, and has been elected President of the Ohio Gastroenterology Society. Dr. Safdi has been the primary investigator in more than 200 medical studies and co-investigator in more than 800 studies.
Protein in your diet and aging. Is it helpful? Alan, what do you think?
Yeah, but we're going to break this into two parts, I think, because I'd like to talk about creatine also with you, but we'll do that the next time. And initially, we're going to talk about protein. What is protein, especially as we age? Do we look and calculate how much protein we get? And it's a pretty easy calculation with AI right now. You can mention AI, the volume and what you ate that day, and it's going to tell you how much protein. Not always accurate, but relatively accurate at times. But beginning around the age of 30, we naturally start to lose not weight, but muscle mass, and up to 5% every decade. And it's estimated up to 20% of old people develop what we call sarcopenia.
Explain sarcopenia.
It's a condition of significant loss of muscle mass, not just muscle mass, but strength, function. With that comes more falls. With that comes more fractures. Most people don't realize they started to lose muscle mass because their weight hasn't changed. You know, your weight may not change, but your body mass is changing. You know, your amount of their muscle has been replaced with fat. So their scale looks the same.
That's interesting. Now, when we do CT examinations on the body now, we measure the amount of sarcopenia. So now the newer machines can do that, especially with the AI input. So now we have another input to people. You know, it's not important when you're 30, but it becomes very important when you're 60 or 70 or 80.
Yeah, I mean, aging, you know, as early as age 30, some of this starts. It's amazing to me how many people, when I look at them, they look like they're in good shape. But then when we see a DEXA scan, which can measure, you know, visceral fat, we see a lot of visceral fat around organs. Same thing with what you're talking about using CT scans and MRIs. But the percentage of fat versus muscle is way off in these individuals. We're starting to look at other ways of looking, you know, not just are you fat, but where do you have fat? Where are you storing fat? We see people over the age of 65 having symptoms like difficulty getting out of a chair or climbing stairs, or, you know, they walk slow, or their balance is, you know, off. So, you know, one of the ways to combat this is by getting enough dietary protein along with resistance training.
I noticed when I walk through the gym, well, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about creatine. That's commonly used by weightlifters and people in the gym. But one thing I wanted to mention, too, is with these new drugs and new injections for weight loss, which are, you know, wildly popular, when individuals lose weight, they not only lose fat, but they're losing muscle mass. And it's surprising how much muscle mass you can lose. So if you lose, some of those medicines, it's not uncommon for people to use to lose 20 pounds, or even people who use them for a longer period of time can use 50 or 60 or 80 pounds on those medicines. They're highly effective at weight loss, but you're not losing weight. You're losing fat plus muscle. And some of these people are surprisingly weak.
No, and it's one of the things we counsel people on initially. You know, we do not prescribe it without talking about resistance training, without talking to them about adequate protein. You know, people want rapidity of weight loss, and sometimes rapidity of weight loss is not as good as sustained slow weight loss along with a good program. So your doctor should really sit down with you if you're on one of the GLP-1 agonists and talk about that. But The amount of protein we want, the US, it's recommended 0.8 grams, for every kilogram. I can break that into pounds, which would be about 0.36 grams per pound. I think that way underrates it, and it's kind of naive to say, we wanted to say, where did you get your protein from? Not just, how. I don't want you going out and having 50 slices of bacon to get your protein. I would rather there's not
Yeah,
as much
what
risk.
are some healthy ways to take protein? Now, you're a vegetarian, and I know you're conscious of protein. So let's talk about you, and then we can talk about people that eat meat and fish, and you can talk about those recommendations.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
let's start with the vegetarian. What do you do?
I try to get, 1.5 to not 0.8 grams per kilogram or 0.36 grams per pound, but I try to get, close to, 0.8 grams per pound, or I try to get about 100 grams per day. So everybody says, how do you do that being a vegetarian? Well, I have, 2 tablespoons of chia seeds in my oatmeal every single morning. I have yogurt every single morning. The chia seeds have about 6 grams. The yogurt has about 11 grams. I have edamame most days, which is 12 to 14 grams of protein right there. I have oatmeal. I have beans. So, without much else, some days I have tofu or tofurkey. I am getting a significant, I have whole wheat bread or a bagel. A whole wheat bagel. A whole wheat bagel, gluten is actually a protein. So a whole wheat bagel or a multigrain bagel may have 10 grams of protein in it. So I really have, very little problems with my pistachios, my peanuts, and the other things that I eat getting an adequate amount of protein in my diet. And we have
Now, when you
legumes.
talk about beans, I've had people ask me this before. When you talk about beans, are you talking about baked beans or green beans or black beans or all of those?
Not green beans so much, not quite as much protein, but I mean, even peas have protein. But we have garbanzo beans, we have black beans, any kind of beans, lentils, although not true bean, we have lentils a lot. I have lentil soup. All of those ways are very, very dense in fiber and dense in protein. Two things that we are often lacking in our diet. Remember, if I have a handful of pistachios, not only am I getting 6 grams of protein, I'm getting some significant fiber and good fats in my diet, same as peanuts.
What other nuts are good besides pistachios? Are peanuts
There's
good?
peanuts are about 7 grams per serving of peanuts, and they're very good. They're not truly a nut, they're a legume, which is fine. Walnuts are great, especially with some help with brain function. I don't care what kind of nuts you like. Eat them all. Eat a variety of them. Be careful; they are calorie dense. But we've done studies, and they're not all 100% absorbed. So while they're calorie dense on the packet, they may not. You know how much I eat, and I have trouble maintaining my weight. So I think there's adequate ways. If you're a vegetarian, if you're into health, of not having to get all your protein through meat and chicken sources.
Yeah, what would you recommend for people who do eat chicken, meat, and fish?
I think that it's a lot easier for them to get an adequate amount of protein. I would look at not getting processed meats. I would,
And wouldn't you limit red meats?
yeah, I would not get processed. If you had some red meat occasionally, that's fine. White meat, white chicken is fine, but depends on how you cook it. If you fry it, no, it's not fine. So, as we get older, we tend to need more protein. We need more resistance training. So does protein help for weight loss? Which was an interesting question that people have asked. And there was a study back in 2022 that was published during the COVID pandemic. And adults had changed their diets to try to lose weight. The higher protein group lost more weight than the lower protein group. Interestingly, when their higher protein group also included more green vegetables in their diet and ate a lot less ultra processed and processed foods, they didn't have as many refined grains and added sugars. Some people worry about protein in their kidneys. The kidneys are responsible for filtering out, our waste, our garbage, after we metabolize these proteins. And high protein diets could put a burden on kidneys. So if you have kidney disease, obviously you should any change in diet you should talk about with your physicians. But most research has shown that high protein diets are not harmful for people without kidney disease. Should you take in a long-term high protein diet, talk to your doctors about it. But it particularly talk to your doctors if that protein comes from high-fat animal products such as red and processed meats. So I think that, you can get lots of protein. I'll give you some other examples. The lentils I was mentioning had 17 grams. Almonds have 10 grams in there. Milk has 8 grams. Cheese, which I wouldn't recommend to get all your protein via cheese, has 6 grams. Cooked oatmeal, which I have every single morning in my life, is 5 grams, but I have it with my chia and flax seeds. So salmon, quite a bit, 22 grams, Bill, when you're eating your salmon,
Yeah.
22 grams per serving, which is a 3 ounce serving. That's the normal serving size in most of the world, except the United States. You have to eat, you're going to have an 8 ounce serving.
Yeah, definitely not going to get
So,
3 ounces.
but it is important for us to avoid sarcopenia. And in our next one, we're going to talk about creatine because creatine has really risen in the lay literature. And a lot more studies that we're doing right now, not just for building muscle or preserving muscle, but maybe for memory function also, and central nervous system benefits. So we'll be talking about that next time.
All right. Sounds great, Alan. Great topic. And I'm looking forward to hearing the next podcast.
Right. Take care, Bill. See ya.